All right, so the Abrahamic covenant encompasses the Palestinian covenant, which deals with the land. The Davidic covenant deals with the throne. And the new covenant, which there's a lot to it, but we could say it deals with the heart, inner salvation. And there's more to it than just that, but it does encompass that aspect of it. So the Abraham covenant is very important, and that's what we're going to look at. What this is this is taken from Brother Sargent in his book, Landmarks of Bible Prophecy. We're going to be going through that, a few pages of it. But just real quick to kind of let us know some of the things that the Abrahamic covenant mentions. It's first mentioned in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm just going to read through these things, and these are just some observations here. He promises Abraham that he's going to be a great nation, that he's going to bless Abraham, that he's going to, there's going to be a great name for Abraham, that Abraham is going to be a blessing, that God will bless those that bless Abraham, and he will curse those that curse Abraham, and also in Abraham shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's what he tells him in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, it's enlarged in Genesis 13, verses 14 through 17. And he tells Abraham, all the land, Abraham, that you see is going to be given to you and your seed forever. So they're going to get this land forever. So there we can see, you know, and in these, I should kind of be pointing out the new covenant. You can see in Abraham shall all families of the earth be blessed. I mean, that's obviously salvation comes through the seed of Abraham. And that's where you can find the new covenant in that aspect. You can bring that up. And then as we look in Genesis 13, 14 to 17, thank you. All the land that Abraham sees is going to be given to him and his seed forever. That is the Palestinian covenant dealing with the land, the promise of the land, that everything that he sees is going to be his. And then Abraham's seed, this is also in Genesis 13, his seed will be as the dust of the earth. So again, that deals with the new covenant to cover all that seed. All right. Now, all right. And then in Genesis 15, verses 5 through 21, there's a bigger portion. The covenant is sealed as God alone walks between the carcasses. And then Abraham's seed is given the land. Again, many times this thing's being reiterated to Abraham throughout his life. God's just reconfirming it to him. But what would happen in ancient times when a covenant would be set between two people is what they would do is they would kill an animal and they'd cut it in half. Usually each party would slay an animal, they'd cut it in half, and they'd both walk between it. And that was their public agreement to this covenant, this contract, so to speak, that they made between one another. And it was public before others, if people were there, that they could see that these two men are in agreement. And essentially what they were saying is, if I break this covenant that we are making right here, then what happened to these animals should happen to me. So they were making that agreement. And this is what happens as you read through Genesis 15, verses 5 through 21. You'll see that's exactly what happened. But it says that Abraham, it says a sleep fell upon him. And he did not walk through the animals, but God did. And you can see it in verse 17. We'll probably look at it tonight. Genesis 15, 17. God's the only one that walked through. And that's important that we understand that, because that has to do with the fact that this is an unconditional covenant. These promises are unconditional. It doesn't matter what Abraham's seed does, what the Israelites do. These covenants are unconditional. They're going to happen no matter what. It's not dependent on anything that man does, because God's the one that's going to uphold this. All right. And then in Genesis chapter 17, verses 2 through 8, we can see that the promise is that Abraham will be multiplied exceedingly. He's going to be a father of many nations. This is when his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. Kings will come out of Abraham. And then a covenant is established between God, Abraham, and his seed for an everlasting covenant. The land of Canaan is given to Abraham and his seed for an everlasting possession. And lastly, God will be a God to Abraham and his seed. Now, again, you might say, like, this seems like it's saying the same things over and over. Yes, but understand that these are years are passing between each of these meetings that God has with Abraham. Abraham doesn't get to walk around with a Bible like we do. And he's getting discouraged through some of this. I mean, when his name is changed, he's kind of like, okay, God, I don't have a child of my own. So how is this going to be fulfilled? That I think Abram means a father of many. And he's like, that doesn't even fit. Like when people ask me my name and I tell them, they're like, well, how many kids do you have? None. Okay. And then his name is changed to Abraham, a father of many nations. And it's, how many children do you have? None. Okay. It was all based on the promises. But he's just like us. He gets discouraged and God speaks to him again and he reiterates these promises. How many times do we go back and read promises in the Word of God to encourage ourselves and say, you know what, I needed that. I need that again. I need that one again. And we use the Bible to encourage ourselves. That's what God is doing for Abraham here. He's going back and he's reiterating, no, Abraham, don't worry. I've got this. I've given you these promises. This land is yours. It's going to be yours. I promise it. And your seed is going to be as the stars in heaven, as the sand of the sea. All the sand that you can see here, it's yours. He tells him, he takes him to at one point there, he's there in the promised land, Canaan, and he says, look, north, south, east, west, as far as you can see, all of this is going to be yours. All of it. I'm going to give it all to you. And it's an everlasting possession. And then in Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18, it's reiterated, multiplied seed as the stars of heaven, and then Abraham's seed will possess the gate of his enemies, and in Abraham's seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So we see the Abrahamic covenant here. Now, really quick, we were in Acts chapter 7, verse 8. Let's read that one more time. It says, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. So it says he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So what does that deal with? Well, it deals with the Abrahamic covenant. So let's look at Genesis chapter 17 and go to verse 9. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 9. And this could be a huge, huge study, just looking at the Abrahamic covenant. There's so much that goes into this, but we're just going to kind of touch on it. Let's pray. I'll wait till you get there and then we'll pray. Is everyone there? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for the truths that are in it, found in it, God, and that we can have a copy. We can hold it, Lord, and we can learn from it. I pray you teach us even right now, Lord. Help us to see the promises that are given in your word you're going to keep, and help us, give us understanding, God, please. We need understanding from you. We need illumination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Genesis 17, verse 9, it says, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So this is the token of the covenant. This is what you're going to do. They're going to circumcise themselves. And as you read in verses 2 through 8, we see that it's the Abrahamic covenant being confirmed again. It's in verse 5, he says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. I mixed that up with chapter 15. It's actually right here. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And the name Abram means high father. That's what it is. In verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And these are just the promises that keep being given. And as you go through, more is added to each one sometimes, or sometimes it's a reiteration. But again, there's several covenants given in the Bible. Four of them are prophetic: the Abrahamic covenant, the Palestinian, the Davidic, and the New Covenant. These have not yet been fulfilled. Okay, none of these to date have been fulfilled. The Abrahamic covenant embraces all the subsequent covenants and is the most important covenant. All the blessings known to man come out of this covenant. I mean, and there's no way around that. You can't deny that, because it was of Abraham's seed is where the Messiah is going to come from, through his seed. So everything goes right back to this. It flows through this. And it's at Abraham where you have before, up until Genesis 11, you have God dealing with mankind as a whole. At Genesis chapter 12, here's where you now have Gentile and Jew. And God has broken off from dealing with mankind as a whole. And he says, I'm going to focus on this one family right here. And he goes to deal with Abraham now. And he says, this is where it's going to work through this family, through this man and his seed after him. And that's how it grows. So everything flows from Abraham. And this is why he's Father Abraham to us. Okay, because of that. Now, the presentation of the covenant is pretty much what I just went through. It was given to Abram in those various places. We looked at Genesis 12, 13, 15, 17, and 22. The covenant began as a promise that God made to Abraham in Mesopotamia. Some of the promises were personal, others applied to Abraham's physical descendants, and some are universal. It started in Mesopotamia when God called him out, Genesis 12, okay? Now, personal promises made to Abraham. He says in Genesis 12, 2 and 17, 6, let's go ahead and we're going to flip through some of these. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. We'll just read verses 1 through 3, actually. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So that's where we first see it. And then let's go ahead and read in another spot in Genesis 17 and verse 6. So he says in verse 2 of chapter 12, I will make of thee a great nation. And then in Genesis 17, verse 6, again he says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. So, personal promises made to Abraham, he's going to make out of Abraham a great nation. Now, both Jews and Arabs have Abraham as their common father. He also says, I will bless thee in Genesis 12, 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. These are personal promises to Abraham. This is what God is going to do for Abraham. He says, I will make thy name great. As we continue through, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Again, personal promises given to Abraham within this Abrahamic covenant. This is what Abraham got to experience in his life, okay? Jews, Muslims, and Christians venerate the name of Abraham. He says, I'm going to make thy name great. And that's exactly, even still to this day, we talk about Abraham. I mean, they all those three faiths, so to speak, magnify Abraham. They lift him up in some way. All right, Jews and Christians, we understand why. Muslims, they say it went through Ishmael. All right, but they still exalt Abraham. All right, so I will make thy name great. He also says, thou shalt be a blessing. We read that. And here he says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That was a promise given to Abraham. Now, I know a lot of people take that, and as I look at it, and I look at the pronouns that are used, it's thee. It's to Abraham specifically and him only. I will bless them. And let me just read it. So, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. That's spoken specifically to Abraham. Amen. I'm going to bless those that bless you, Abraham, and curse those that curse you, Abraham. That's what he's saying. It's not a perpetual promise. I don't necessarily see that. I don't. All right. A lot of people use that as saying, you know, we better bless Israel. Okay, and I'm not against the nation of Israel at all. I think they're an ally that we have. Okay, I think it's good. But the argument for it is taken from this, as far as I know. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And they talk about, well, that's to the nation Israel. I'm sorry, that was to Abraham specifically. That's how I read it. Now, I know that doesn't go with much of what it is said today, but I think that's false doctrine. They take it and make it say something that it's not. All right, now we're not against Israel. We're not for the destruction of Israel at all. We're not anti-Semitic. We're for the Jews. They're still God's people. And that's why we're looking at this, is to understand the distinction here. That's why we're looking at the Abrahamic covenant, that these promises are perpetual and they were given to Abraham and his seed. Okay, meaning the ethnic Jews. Okay, bloodline Jews, people that are born as a Jew. Okay, these promises are still there. So the promise is also given, he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4, again, these are personal promises to Abraham. Genesis 15, 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And it was speaking of Eliezer, his steward, He said, no, it's not going to be from him. It's going to be someone that comes from your own bowels, okay? He's going to be your heir. That's a personal promise to Abraham. Abraham didn't have children at that time, and he's saying, what's up, Lord? What's going on here? How am I going to be, you know, everything you promised? How's all that going to happen? And God promised that he would have someone from his own bowels. And then the last personal promise, in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is a reference to Christ, and this is, of course, a universal promise. But in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. How? Through Jesus Christ. And that's exactly how it is. That gospel's to go into all the world, and it affects all of mankind, anyone. And it all comes through the seed of Abraham. That's a promise given to Abraham. In you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed, okay? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, the prophetic promises made to Abraham. He's going to get a seed. There's two kinds of seeds are spoken of. His earthly seed. Let's look at Genesis 13:16. Now, let me just say, too, as we're going through this, I am by no means do I know everything about this, okay? There's a lot to this, okay? And let me say there's a lot I don't understand about it all. There's some confusing portions of this, so this is why we're just kind of, you know, just touching on it, because I don't understand everything about it. I just want to throw that out there, but there's some things we do need to know about it. All right, so prophetic promises made to Abraham. He's going to have two kinds of seed are being spoken about. Genesis 13:16, it says here, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. All right, so he's going to have an earthly seed that's going to be given to him. Let's look at Genesis 22:17. And I think there's a double reference in that as well. All right, Genesis 22:17. What do I mean by a double reference? I think it's speaking of earthly seed and then those that spiritually call him Father Abraham. But we'll get to that. That's the second type of seed. All right, Genesis 22:17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So there's a promise of an earthly seed. Let's look real quick at Matthew chapter 3, verse 9. Save your spot in Genesis. Matthew 3 and verse 9. An earthly seed here. All right, Matthew 3:9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So there's an earthly seed. And that's what he's talking about. Okay, we have Abraham to our father. That was true. They were an earthly seed of Abraham. But he said, don't lean back on that. Don't think that's going to cut it for you. Because it always has to be by faith. Okay, to be a child of God has always been by faith. Even for those that are born Jews, they still had to believe the promises that were given. They had to trust what God said, just like we do today. So there's an earthly seed, and then there is a spiritual seed. Go to Genesis 15. A spiritual seed. Again, a double references, I believe. Genesis 15:5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. All right. And now let's look at John 8:39. Save your spot in Genesis, because we'll eventually be going back there. John 8:39. So here you can see both a physical seed, an earthly seed, and a spiritual seed. John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. See, there's the earthly seed. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And there's a spiritual seed. You can see them both right there. The physical seed and the spiritual seed. He said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But they weren't, because they didn't believe. They didn't believe what God said. They were rejecting him right in front of them. It's proof that they weren't. So there's that spiritual seed. And now go to Romans 4:16. All right. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the father of us all. Okay? But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. So we're of the same faith. We're of the same thing. We read about it in Genesis. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? Which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now get this. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. All right, now what I'm going to do, there's parentheses in there in verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. It's talking about Abraham, okay? That's, again, going back to the Abrahamic covenant. What we're going to do is we're going to read verse 16. We're going to skip the parentheses and then continue on, okay? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, before him whom he believed. So before God whom he believed. Okay, even God, and it tells us, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So he calls those things which be not as though they were, which is us. Now, we're not of the seed of Abraham, are we? We're not physically born from him. But what does he say? He says, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, we're not that, but by faith we are. That's what God does. How does it happen? It happens by faith. Okay, we're the spiritual seed. All right, so there's two seeds. Prophetic promises made to Abraham. All right, and then the promise of the land. There's a progressive revelation. All right, as we, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 7, it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. All right, so he's promised this land. Now look at the progressive revelation. Go to Genesis 13:14. Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So all the land. So I went from this land to all the land. And notice that it is forever. It's to thy seed forever. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now that thy seed right there is his physical seed. Okay, this is part of the Palestinian covenant. And again, the Abrahamic covenant embraces all of this. But the land is given to his physical seed. All right, because as you start getting into the prophetic portions of Scripture, and Israel is going to come back, and we may look at some of that today. This is, I don't know if I'll get to it today, actually. But as you start looking at some of those portions, and it talks about that he's going to, you know, call his people from the four winds of the earth, and where are they going? They're coming back into the land of Israel. That's where he's calling the Jews back to, all right? And they're going to be given that land. We don't get that land, okay? We're not going to get that. In the millennium, that's where they're going to be. We will not be there. Amen. They will, because that land was promised to his seed. Again, we understand there's the two seeds, so it's his physical seed are the ones that are going to get that land. And this is what, as we look at the Abrahamic covenant, all right, his physical seed is going to get that land. It's promised to them. Now, let me throw this in there, though. They also have to believe as well. It's not just because they're born a Jew, so to speak, that they get this promise. No. They have to also be saved as well, so to speak, for language we'd understand. They need to be saved also. They have to have the faith of Abraham. Okay, they don't just get it because they're born a Jew. Now, for them to get that land, they have to be born a Jew and have the faith of Abraham. And then those will be the ones that get it. They will possess that land. All right. So it starts off this land and then all the land forever. It's even to his seed. And then in Genesis 15, verses 18 to 21, it says, from the river of Egypt unto Euphrates. So it's just progressing. He's revealing more to him, okay? It's a progressive revelation. Genesis 15, 18 to 21 says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So they're getting all of that space, okay? So it's growing. And then in Genesis 17, 8, we see it's an everlasting possession. Okay, that's why this is an unconditional covenant, meaning it cannot be lost. It's unconditional. Okay, we've seen it already. To thy seed forever. Okay, Genesis 17, 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations. Look at it, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. To Abraham, he was a stranger there. Because where was he from? Mesopotamia. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. That's where he grew up. And we looked at all that in weeks past, that this, where God called him to, was foreign to him. He was a pilgrim, kind of like us, right? This world is not our home. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. And aren't we a part of that kingdom? Therefore, we are just like Abraham. We are pilgrims. We are not a part of this world. We're strangers, just like Abraham was. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He says, I'm going to give it to thee and thy seed after thee. All right, again, that's his physical seed. Those are the ones that are going to get it. All right, so the prophetic promise is made to Abraham. He's going to have a seed, he's going to have a land, and he's going to have a throne. Now, let's look at Genesis 17, 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings, plural, shall come out of thee. Kings shall come of thee. All right. This again is a dual application because we see just from him, we've got the kingdom of Israel. You're going to have those kings. You could look even at Ishmael. God was going to make a great nation out of him, and he did. All right. Esau, there he had his own kingdom. The Edomites come from there. That's where the Herodians come from. Okay, Herod, as you look, the different King Herods in the New Testament, they're from Esau, all right? That's where their lineage comes from. But kings are going to come from them, and then all the kings of Israel with King Saul, King David, King Solomon, and so on and so forth, all the kings through. But I believe it's a dual application because, let's go to Revelation 1:6. And again, it's important we understand that there are two kinds of seed. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. All right. Let me just read again here. Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And who's he writing to? He's writing to a church. And he says to that church, that Abraham's the father of us all. Why? Because there's two seeds. There's two seeds. So he's the father of us all, even to that church. But the church is a spiritual seed. We get the blessing. He's going to be a blessing to many nations. Remember, to all the nations of the earth, all the people of the earth. How? Through Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus Christ, through that physical seed, okay, that we get to be a part of him spiritually, and we're his spiritual seed. Therefore, he's the father of us all. Okay, so remembering that, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 says, well, we'll start in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. So who's he writing to? Churches, right? Members of the churches. All right, these seven churches. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now here it is, and hath made us, stop, who's us? Who's he writing to? Let's go back to verse 4. John to the seven churches. Okay, so he's writing to who? Church members, right? Now, what was deposited within the church? The kingdom. The kingdom was deposited within the church. Okay, so we are a part of a kingdom, correct? All right. So, John to the seven churches. So he's writing to saved people who are members of a church who are a part of the kingdom. All right. Now, and hath made us. Who is the us? Church members. That's who it is. It's church members. Okay. Does everybody see that? No? If we can go back over it, I want us to see it. If we don't see it, I want us to get it. Okay, this is being written to seven churches. So let's pretend that we are one of these churches it's being written to. Now, I know specifically it was seven churches in Asia Minor, but it's here for us. It is being written to us. But specifically, it was being written to these churches in Asia Minor. So let's pretend that we are one of them. So, John to the seven churches, which includes Liberty Baptist Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. So man, John the Apostle is writing this letter to our church. So I am reading this letter, okay? I just received it. The deliverer came and brought this letter to me that John the Apostle wrote on the Isle of Patmos. And I just opened it up and we started our service. And now, right now, we're pretending we're one of these churches. I am reading this letter that John just wrote to us. John wrote this letter to us. This is a message from John to us, okay? He says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That's from Jesus. Jesus just told us, grace be unto us and peace. Jesus just said that to us, right? You following me? He said that to us as a church. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look at that. He's just reminding us he loved us. And how did he love us? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. Man, Jesus did all that for us. He just wrote that to us. Isn't that amazing? Think about it now. Isn't that amazing? Jesus just wrote that to us. I'd be pretty excited if this was me and I got a message direct from God not that far after he'd been crucified, just within the lifespan of one of the apostles. All right, the Apostle John is writing this to us. God gave him a message to give to us, okay? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is to us from God. John the Apostle just wrote it. The ink just dried. I'm telling you, the ink just dried and we just got this thing, okay? And hath made us. Now, who's he talking to? To us. Right? We are church members. He's talking to us. And hath made us what? Kings. He's made us kings. Isn't that what it's saying?
Amen.
He's talking to a church. That's us. And it says he's made us kings. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He made us kings and priests. And to him, unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. To God the Father be glory and dominion forever. Man, that just sounds familiar to me. Can anybody else think of a verse that sounds familiar to? Amen. You cheater. Can anybody else? I called him a cheater for a reason. Do you know why? Number two, if we see someone else that's a cheater, does anybody else know why? Cheaters look at the answer from somewhere, correct? Unto him, who? That's God the Father when you read it. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. What's going to be unto God the Father? Glory. Where? In the church. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be what? Glory. And dominion forever and ever. Amen. There it is. Do we see how it's talking to us? Okay, we're the seed of Abraham. And we are called kings and priests. That's talking to us. So he's promised a throne. King shall come of thee. We see it in Genesis 17:6 is where it says that. It's a dual application, the kings of Israel, but also his spiritual seed, us. Kings are going to come from him. That's speaking to us right here. If we are faithful, we will rule and reign with him. What does that mean? We're going to rule with him. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, who was ruling the world at that time? Who was ruling? We're in a class in our Bible Institute, and it talks about the Apostle Paul. And we are looking right now at the world of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was a contemporary with Jesus Christ. Amen. He was alive when Jesus Christ was alive. He was close to the same age. He was going to be very close to the same age as Jesus. Now, who was ruling the world when the Apostle Paul was alive? Rome. Okay, Rome was ruling the world. Who was the head of Rome? Caesar, right? Okay, the German word Kaiser comes from that. All right, Caesar. It means king. That's what Caesar is, a title meaning king. Okay, so he's a king. All right, so we could say, as you look at the Roman Empire, that he is the top king, correct? But now when you go and you look and you read through the New Testament, especially the Gospels, we come across some people that, who did the wise men come to when they sought out the Messiah that had been born, the new king of the Jews? Who did they go to? Where did they go? Did they go to Bethlehem first? Okay, where did they go? Where's the capital of Israel? Jerusalem, right? Why would they go to Jerusalem? Think about it. They're looking for a newborn king. Why would they go to Jerusalem? Yes, because that's where the king is. Are you guys following me? Is everyone following me here? Because I'm not getting any answers from anybody. So I'm wondering, are you guys following me? I want you to go along with this. Okay, I want you to see what I'm saying, okay? So they went to Jerusalem so they could find the king. And who did they speak with? I gave you the answer earlier. They came from Esau. They were Edomites. The Herods. It's a family, okay? That's who it is. It's a family known as the Herods, the Herodians. Okay, so they went and spoke with who? King Herod. Now, King Herod was under the jurisdiction because Jerusalem was being ruled by who? Who was ruling Jerusalem? I started off with this. Come on, help me. Rome. Okay, and now who's the king of Rome? Caesar. Okay, Caesar is the king of Rome, right? So he's on top. But yet, within this kingdom of Rome, with Caesar being the top king, you've got another king named Herod. But he's called a king, and there was others too. How can that be? Because this other king, Herod, ruled a smaller portion. Okay? I want us to understand something here. This is how it's going to work in the kingdom. If we are faithful,
amen,
we will rule and reign with him. That's what Herod was doing. He was ruling and reigning with Caesar. Yep. He was controlling a certain portion. Caesar said, you take care of this. Deal with the problems there. I don't want to hear about you not running things the way I want. I want you to take care of it. If you have major problems, then bring them to me. But you are going to rule and reign with me. That's what he was doing. So when it says that Jesus is King of Kings, it's saying that he's the Caesar. He's the top. There's nothing above Him. We're subordinate to Him, but we get to rule and reign with Him.
Amen.
That's why we can be called kings and priests, and that's why Jesus Christ is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because you can see that, and you know, oftentimes you think back to like the old world in England and how they had it. They have the titles of Lord this and Lord that. They were rulers over areas. And that's what it's saying. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is what we are. And this is how the millennial reign is going to work. We're going to rule and reign with Him 1,000 years. And He's going to be King of Kings, and we will be subservient to Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's how it's going to work. Now, we're a kingdom now, aren't we? So what we're doing is showing our faithfulness. Because the master of the house, because this is His house, right? 2 Timothy 3:15 or 1 Timothy 3:15. This is His house. He's gone away on a long journey. He's given us instruction and He says, I'm coming back. I will come back. We don't know when. Our duty is to be faithful now. Because what we're doing now is we're proving that we're going to be worthy to serve with Him then.
Amen.
Okay? And that's how it works. So if we're going to get to serve with Him. But all of that was brought about because the prophetic promises to Abraham was there was going to be a throne. Jesus is obviously going to sit on that throne. But there's a dual application to this statement that kings shall come of thee. All right? It's the kings of Israel, but also speaking to, excuse me, to us in Revelation 1:6. Now let's go to one more place. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. All right. Did everybody understand that? I'm serious. I mean that. I want you to get it. I want you to grasp this stuff. If I'm moving too fast and you're not getting it, I want to break it down, slow down, and we'll go back over it. But I really want us to grasp what this is all saying, all right? Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Oh, we're going to read more than that. Let's just start in verse 1. It says, "And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed, and seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, and neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came," excuse me, "and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne." So Jesus shows up. He's worthy to take that book. He's worthy to loose the seals thereof. "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Watch out now. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now this happened in heaven. But they said, "We shall reign on the earth." Why? Because He hasn't come back yet. The 1,000-year reign hasn't started yet, but it says He has made us, who? Those that have been redeemed unto God. He's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Those that have been redeemed. So, those are the prophetic promises made to Abraham. So, we'll stop right there. And next time, we'll pick up with the permanency of the covenant. All right. I hope this is kind of shedding some light on this. There really is a lot to this. There's a whole lot to this. And I hope that I'm just really touching on it, but I hope this can begin to give us some understanding. And really, this is the important part of it, is the permanency of the covenant. And that it's given to His physical seed, okay? Ethnic Jews that are saved, all right? That's who this the permanency of the covenant is given to. They have to be of the faith of Abraham. Remember, we read about it in John 8:39. Let's just look at that again real quick. You guys thought we were done. You just never know when you're done with me. All right. John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. All right. Jesus saith unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So they were not really, they were physically born of Abraham, but they were not spiritually of the faith of Abraham. So they have to be of the faith of Abraham in order to get this promise. But that's who it was given to. I mean, when the promise is given to Abraham, he had faith in God. He was believing God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Okay, it was put on his account for righteousness. You believe me here. They have to be of the same stuff that Abraham's made of, so to speak. The faith of Abraham. They really, I guess you could say it in two ways, need to be of the seed of Abraham. Physically and spiritually. Okay, and then these promises are to them, the promise of the land is going to be theirs. So we'll pick up the permanency of the covenant next time. All right. Does anybody have any?